superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
You're smoking crack!
World of Hockey Report presented by Lord Kill Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. If you're heading to the rink, Lord Kill is going to make sure you got everything you need for a smooth ride. The best headlight replacement bulbs, you want battery maintainer, all of that. When the temperature drops, you're going to need to be prepared. Lord Kill's got you set. Visit a Lord Kill Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts, and accessories. Visit LordKill.com to find a store near you. Guys, let's be real. It's a tough day to talk hockey. It's a very tough day to talk hockey. You know, I think first off, it's right to acknowledge Kyle Beach and everything he has done for the hockey world in the past 24 hours. Not even that. I mean, the amount of strength, the amount of courage he has shown by coming forward, telling his story. For those of you who don't know, he was John Doe in the whole Chicago Blackhawks case. He was one of the players sexually assaulted by Brad Aldrich. And he came forward, he told his story, he spoke out, and it touched so many people. And I really hope that people are going to take a look in the mirror about how hockey culture is, how it needs to be changed, and what the next steps are. I really, really feel like Kyle Beach is going to change the world forever. He's going to change the game of hockey forever, and I really hope some more accountability comes into place. And it's not just having those extra meetings with Joel Quenneville, with Kevin Cheveldayoff. It's not just, you know, trying to hold Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith accountable because they were on that team. They were a part of that culture. It's taking the steps to the bigger one. It's Kyle Beach calling out Don Fair and saying, this guy's the head of the PA. He did nothing for me. He was the problem. He swept it under the rug. He could care less because he knew I wasn't going to be in any jailer. They tried to bury me. That's the accountability. The accountability goes on Gary Bettman for waiting. How long? 48 hours to meet with Joel Quenneville, waiting till Monday to deal with Kevin Cheveldayoff, to have these conversations after they are named in the biggest lawsuit in potentially NHL history. Where's the accountability there? That's all I want to know. I'm not going to scream and shout. I'm not going to stand up here and, you know, really just call for everyone's heads to roll. But I want to see, you know, accountability on the biggest scale. And please join the conversation today. It's a meaningful one. We really want to hear from you. Join the conversation if you're watching 12 Ounce Sports Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch. Follow us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. Please join the conversation. Glenn says, talk about Gary Bettman afterwards. Well, Glenn, I mean, I send my bid on Gary Bettman. I think he needs to be held accountable. And frankly, if that means that he knew about this and he didn't, because who is Gary Bettman to take it to other than the police, to be frank? And so I want to know, when did Gary Bettman find out about this? Why is Gary Bettman not doing any interviews? Why is he not been? I mean, I haven't seen him. If I've missed him, then hey, that's on me. Then that's, you can chalk that one up on me. But I want to hear from Gary Bettman. I want him to stand in front of a mic now and take questions. I want Don Fair to stand in front of the mic and take questions. Enough of this statement, enough of this notepad. No, you got to be held accountable for what's happening. And for Gary Bettman, does it end up like the LA Clippers situation where Sterling, I mean, they're forced to sell the team after the owner came out and said, hey, he's a racist. He's as blatant as it comes. It's racist. And I'm not here to say, oh, racism, sexual assault, what's worse? No, I'm not here to say that. But I'm saying is that there is the powers in place that you can tell, hey, you guys got to sell the team now. I think that is a potential, you know, conversation to be had. And I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. Because the way that this has been handled, it's unacceptable. It really is. And so what do you do? Is selling the team going to change anything? Well, I think without Rocky and Danny Wirtz there, that gives them a little bit more of a fresh start, because you have to turn a new page here. You have to come to a settlement. And the fact that I saw Kyle Beach is only asking for 150 grand or something like that in damages, that's an absolute joke. I mean, this guy, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Wirtz family, should be cutting him a check for, I don't know, $250,000 every single year for the rest of his life for making him put up with that shit. That's as simple as I can put it. It's unacceptable. And the fact that that even, you know, I get it. They want to settle. I'm not a legal expert by any means, but that seems pretty low for the Wirtz family to be going and battling like that. Get rid of the team, find some new owners. Let's make sure we get to the bottom of this on all aspects. If there was players involved, who was the one using homophobic slurs toward him? You know, obviously he doesn't want to drop names in there for their legal reasons, whatever it is. But you got to get to the bottom of it. And for Gary Bettman, Don Fair, they need to be held accountable. As much as people talk about Quenneville, as much as people talk about Kane and Taves, I want to see the higher ups be held accountable here. And I think that's how we are going to see any change. Quick story. I did have to mention this as well. This is from Daryl Wolski. If you guys don't know, he's a pretty prominent hockey agent with 2112 Hockey. I believe that's how it is, 2112. And a few years ago, a Brandon school teacher went missing in Europe. The teacher was last seen where Beecher was playing. And Kyle essentially told Daryl, he said, hey, phone the family, tell them they can use my apartment while they search for their son here. That's, you know, you don't see too many guys in their 20s say, hey, I understand how big this is. Use my apartment while you're here. It doesn't matter if I'm here to play pro hockey, do a job, whatever. There's some guys that come off as salt of the earth. And Tyson Barrie did have some comments on that after the game yesterday. Connor McDavid didn't really speak to it as much, but I'll play those comments from Barrie here.
Well, this is another guy that's a UFA at the end of the...
Sorry, that's the wrong one. That's on me for my notepad here. Here's Tyson Barrie.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of courage. I played against Kyle in junior, and he was a great player and a tough kid. And it goes to show you, it's, you know, it can happen to anybody. And good on him for coming out. And if he can save someone from that experience and help somebody who's gone through that, that's unbelievable. I think that's what he's looking for. And obviously, you know, we weren't there. We didn't see how it was handled and everything. You just read the details, but that has no place in our game or in the world. So if he can help some kids get through that, that's a step in the right direction.
I don't think much else needs to be said. I thought Tyson nailed it on the head there.
So it was nice to see Tyson Barrie step up and speak on it. And I really think that the media is doing their job by asking these questions. They're tough questions to ask. They're tough questions to answer, especially you're being put on the spot after a game. That's not an easy position for anyone to be in. But is it the right thing? Yes, of course it's the right thing. And again, I don't want to beat a dead drum. Dead horse, whatever. I don't want to keep beating the drum. But at the end of the day, accountability has to happen. And here was an interesting tweet as well. I do have a couple that I did, you know, that really stuck out to me. And the Wolski story, of course, that one, it really just warms your heart to know how can someone do such good in the world when the world's just, you know, thrown them away, pushed them into the corner, said, we don't care about you, the NHL. It's tough. Here, this comes from Carly, Quirky Hockey. If none of the Blackhawks players' leadership knew, how did the homophobic slurs not make them dig deeper into why they're being thrown around? Or is that kind of language so normalized it doesn't stand out? That's a huge issue. If it's normalized in the hockey world, which I fully believe it is in some sense, it's got to be dealt with. It's got to be people speaking up saying, hey, that's not right. We need to be better. We can be better. I think that's end of the day where hockey culture needs to change. And coming from Drager this morning, the NHL sent out a culture memo to clubs reminding them what's acceptable and what's not. I don't know. I mean, if you need a culture memo from the NHL to understand that homophobic slurs, sexual assault, racism, that's not acceptable. We got bigger issues then. Then shut the league down for a month.
shut the league down for a month, get to the core of the issues, and really go from there. Here's a statement from Don Fair. We do have to get his part, you know, in. We talked about Bettman. We talked about Fair. And here's a statement from, part of the statement from Don Fair. He said, Kyle Beach has been through a horrific experience and has shown true courage in telling his story. There's no doubt that the system failed to support him at his time of need, and we are a part of that system. In his media interview, Mr. Beach stated that several months after the incident, he told someone at the NHLPA the details of what happened to him. He is referring to one of the program doctors with the NHLPA Player Assistance Program. While the program is confidential between players and doctors, the grave nature of this incident should have resulted in further action on our part. The fact that it did not was a serious failure. I'm truly sorry, and I am committed to making change to ensure it does not happen again. Do you give him a second chance? I don't know. Join the conversation. Let me know. Hit me up anytime. Text, comment, whatever you need. We're on Twitter at WorldHockeyRPT. I'm there at Janner31 underscore. And we're coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports Lingo TV channel 761. Still to come on the show, we are going to talk some lighter stuff. Rob Reese is going to talk on. Well, we'll dive into your fantasy teams, who to pick up, who to drop, all that stuff. Rob's a great guy. He's one of the best fantasy writers in the game for NHL.com. And at 1240 open line, we want to hear from you. On a day like today, we need to hear from you. So join the conversation. However, maybe we'll take a few phone calls. We'll get you guys on air talking about it, because, you know, there's just so much that has happened in the hockey world over the past 24 hours that I'm interested in. Am I on the right track? Am I on the wrong track? How much is, you know, an echo chamber of social media? Because if I'm off, that's fine. Tell me I'm off. But again, this is this one really was right in the gut. Knowing, you know, sexual assault survivors, knowing, you know, just survivors in general who have played such a big role in my life. Having played, I mean, having a coach who was charged with sexually assaulting four former players back in midget. That shit doesn't leave you anytime. It's always in the back of your head. It's always in your mind of, these players came out, but again, why is a, you know, a coach like Ryan Chamberlain allowed to coach minor hockey in Swift Current? Who did the research? Did people know before and they tried to sweep it under the rug? That's the stuff where hockey culture needs to change. And the fact that Chamberlain gets 3 years in jail for that is a whole nother issue. I'm not going to put on my police, lawyer, judge, law hat here, but harsher penalties need to happen for guys like Chamberlain, guys like Aldrich, guys like Graham James. All of that needs to be taken care of in the court of law, and harsh penalties need to happen. I'm not talking about 5 years. I'm talking 20, 25 years behind bars, if not life. You're ruining lives. You're ruining people's careers, their futures. They're leading to so many more problems. And the fact that this stuff still isn't being dealt with, the fact that coaches, managers, co-workers could have known of what Brad did and did know what Brad did and still gave him positive references, that's where this stuff needs to stop. It is. It's as simple as you can put it. That is where stuff needs to stop. All right, I've said my piece. Join the conversation anytime. On 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch. Get those comments in. We'll open the phone lines in about 20 minutes time. Well, I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear, are we on the right track? Are we off track? I'm interested to hear. This one's breaking from earlier today. NHL news. Vegas, the Golden Knights have extended Zach Whiteclad to a 6-year extension, $2.75 million AAV. And also the Habs are in San Jose tonight. The last time they won, 1999. Nick Suzuki was 3 months old. Cole Caulfield, Alex Romanov weren't even born yet. Shane Corson was on the team. Quickly, NHL scores from last night. The Oilers at home. Carter Hart shuts the door. I mean, hey, it hurts to talk about from a Zach Medeiros standpoint, but the Flyers were the better team. They win 5-3. We'll dive into a little bit of that because Koskinen was not sharp. And there's also some more rumblings coming out in the fourth period. We'll get to those comments later on as well about a goaltending change in Edmonton being a possibility. Well, Dave Pignota's on the case there. And he talked about one. And it's been floating around a little bit, but maybe it gets revisited. We'll talk Oilers, Flyers a little bit later on. Other scores from last night, Florida beats Boston 4-1. The fact that Quenneville's still coaching, it's sickening. Toronto beats Chicago 3-2 in overtime. Detroit over Washington 3-2 in overtime. And Vegas 3-2 over Dallas in overtime. Dallas has had an interesting start here to the season. So, Vegas picks up a big win. If they're to go on the road and lose against a team like Dallas, I don't know what you do with Vegas at this point. They've got their struggles. They've got their issues. And I think a lot of it stems from not having that depth up the middle. You know, we've talked about it multiple times. Losing Marc-Andre Fleury, that's going to hurt them. But now all of a sudden you got two forwards out and you almost don't even know how to play hockey. That seems like a pretty big issue to me. They also got a couple of fancy pieces here. We'll talk about that with Rob Reese. I also want to know, you know, is there some sleepers we should be looking at? Is there some stars who he doesn't think are going to keep up? Maybe trade them now? Trade them? Keep them? Maybe a goalie to pick up? We'll talk about that. Rob Reese, our guy from NHL.com. He's coming up next. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Coauto Parts, coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spengler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com and sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
NFL fans hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, it's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Hey, it's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you, and we're presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Visit Lordco's in-store truck centers and select locations. They also got some big stuff coming up. I can't leak it yet, Dan. You know, he probably wouldn't be too happy about it, but there's some huge stuff as we get ready for the World Juniors. It's Cody Jansen with you live from the Pro Ronk Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31 underscore and the show at World Hockey RPT. Our next guest from NHL.com, it's Rob Reese, the fantasy guru. He joins us on air right now. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, good to be with you guys. Yeah, a lot of trends, a lot of stuff happening. So, a lot to talk about today.
So, if I can be honest, just to start it, I slept through two fantasy drafts this year, and I have not set my lineups once. But I know the people care about it a lot more than me, so that's why we need your expert advice out here. Hey, who's been hot this season? Is it as simple as in my mind being like, okay, McDavid's got a ton of points, Puljujarvi's exceeded expectations, they're hot? Or is there guys who have really got off to a crazy start in different leagues or different styles of leagues?
Well, first, you shouldn't feel too bad about oversleeping drafts because I already lead a few of my leagues in add drops, so really nothing to worry about there. But in terms of who's hot, I guess you could look at it in a few different ways. I guess the first thing I would start by is saying a guy you need to go out and get now is Andrew Kopp, the Winnipeg Jets. He's playing north of 20 minutes per game. He's got 8 points. He's a +7. He's covering hits. He's covering blocks. And the thing is, he's left wing, right wing in Yahoo, but he's still playing center. So he should probably get try eligibility in the next week or so here. That's hot. Now, what else you could say is hot is a guy that was drafted on average outside the top 100 that's playing as a top 15 overall asset right now. That would be Evgeny Kuznetsov of the Washington Capitals. I know they're both centers, Kuznetsov and Backstrom. Really fell in drafts. I guess you guys, well, you missed a couple of years, but if you were in the draft, you saw these guys sliding down, just plummeting for really no reason specifically other than Backstrom's injury, but for Kuznetsov, it was kind of head scratcher. Well, he's playing alongside in his patented spot alongside Ovi, who is a top three player in fantasy, Kuznetsov's top 15, and if the Caps stay hot, I mean, those guys are going to return massive, massive value for you this year.
So with the Caps in general and a guy like Ovi as well on that chase, do you put a little bit of stock into players that are playing with an Ovechkin knowing that, hey, they're going to try to feed him extra amounts these next few years trying to get him up to there? Or is that just me overthinking it?
No, you're head to the right place for sure. And actually some breaking news for the show here is TJ Oshie was spotted on crutches just a little while ago in their training facility. So speaking of Ovechkin exposure, you might be able to pick up a guy like Anthony Mantha now, who I would go out and grab in all formats immediately, who's probably going to see time now on that top power play unit alongside Ovechkin, alongside Kuznetsov. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity, I think, to kind of position yourself for that. And anytime, you know, you have a big injury like an Oshie or, you know, someone like that, you know that there's going to be the next man up, especially on these elite teams. Now, if it happened to, you know, a team that only really has one top line and a guy goes down, you're not really using that same logic like, hey, let me get this exposure, because that exposure on a lesser team would kind of be meaningless.
I just got a text into the show here. One of the listeners wants to know, hey, when should I consider picking up Malkin? He's a free agent in my league. Are you one of those guys who is like, hey, if you wait on him too long, you're going to miss out? Maybe just get him and put him on the bench right now or what?
Yeah, so look, if you started your fantasy season, you know, 2-0 so far in the first 2 weeks, great. I would go ahead and make that move right now. If you can afford maybe another full week or two without one player in your lineup, it would definitely be the time to do it now. However, if you got off to a shaky start and you're kind of coming from behind, you got to wait on this one. I mean, you know, we see with Crosby now, it's like one day he's skating, he's ready to play, and then boom, Penguins tweet out he's not playing. So I expect Crosby to be back here hopefully this weekend or early next week. And then for Malkin, you know, it looks like he's progressing well. And who knows? I mean, this could be a Yanni Gourde situation where it looked like he was going to be out till mid-November. All of a sudden, boom, he's in the lineup a week ago, and you're like, what happened? So don't miss out on Malkin, but if you have IR Plus, obviously no-brainer, pick him up right now and stash him. If you don't have IR Plus, I'd say maybe wait just a few more days, let the hype from Crosby returning die down a little bit, and then sneak in and add Geno Malkin.
Has there been a couple of sleeper pickups this year? You know, guys who you didn't really expect to pop off, kind of take a next step in the fantasy game, or who's been those guys who have really surprised you?
Well, we'll stay with Alberta here for a second for you guys and talk about Andrew Mangiapane for the Calgary Flames. Everybody is running to the waiver wire, and I've seen some people dropping quality players for him. I like Mangiapane a lot. I think he actually had a surprising season last year, too. He was on pace for more than 20 goals. He actually scored 18 in the season short, which is nothing to scoff at. But the only thing I would question here, you know, about kind of sleeper names is the shooting percentage. Mangiapane is shooting 40% right now. I mean, that's just not sustainable. I don't care who you are, or what line you're on. Maybe if you're alongside McDavid and your name's Zach Hyman, you could shoot 40%, and I wouldn't think twice about that. But for Mangiapane, he is not playing with Connor McDavid. Okay, he's playing for the Calgary Flames, so there might be a little bit of regression to the mean. So when you bring up sleeper names, like, I'll pick up Mangiapane, no question about it. But also don't be surprised if he kind of cools off, too, a little bit.
That's fair. That's probably a pretty good one in Flames land where they think he might score 82 goals this season. Has there been any goalies really stand out? Like, it seems like Carter Hart's kind of bouncing back. Is he picking up points in the goaltending department? Or because, like, Tampa's struggled a little bit. Leonard really hasn't done that good in Vegas. Like, who's the goalies who are really hot here? Is it just like Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight or what?
I mean, this has been the position that I don't know for you guys, but this has been a nightmare for me just because I'm not getting a lot of quality right now. Like Marc-Andre Fleury is pretty much droppable in all formats. I think the only reason you hang on to him right now is just hope that the Blackhawks trade him, you know, and maybe he winds back up in Pittsburgh or he winds up on a contender, right? And then you reap the rewards there. But for goalies that are hot, I mean, Freddie Anderson, I think, is the guy that totally flipped the narrative. You know, a lot of people in Toronto kind of got down on Freddie. He was kind of a scapegoat, you know, for right or wrong in a number of their early playoff exits. But now that he's on a team with a really, really solid team defense, he's been a top five goalie all season long in fantasy. And then for a guy, if you're looking on the waiver wire, the only one I would really go after might be Matt Murray right now for the Ottawa Senators. When he gets back and healthy in the lineup, you might be able to recoup some value there. I don't know, you know, if you've watched a lot of Senators games, but they've been competitive, and I think they are looking to kind of outclass and be further along than the Montreal Canadiens are, which is ironic considering one team made the Stanley Cup final last year.
That's fair. Chris wants to know, hey, do I pick up Mike Smith? Is he going to be healthy soon? I don't know if he's going to be healthy soon, but I think from the Oilers' perspective, this is a very good regular season team, and Mike Smith obviously gives this team the best chance to win between the pipes right now. Am I wrong?
Oh, I think I would go so far as to say that Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith are both top 20. I would maybe even say top 15 goalies in fantasy when healthy. I know Koskinen, you know, led up 5 to the Flyers last night, but that's not a big deal. I mean, you're not going to win every game. Right? I mean, let's get that out of the way. We all know that, right, in fantasy. But I think to have the expectation for Mike Smith when he's back, if it is this weekend, which it looks like it may be, you know, that he is older in his career and he's not going to be a workhorse goalie. So if he's available, absolutely pick him up. But if you're a Koskinen manager now in fantasy, I would maybe say go out and try and trade for a guy like Mike Smith just so you can have the Edmonton tandem. The reason why I think this is safe is because the division is so wide open. Look at Vegas right now. They're playing without their two stars, right? Pacioretty and Stone. You look at Seattle. They're making some noise, but Edmonton is a class and a half, at least, above the Seattle Kraken. Then Calgary, you know, the jury, I feel like, is still out on that team. I could see them being a little bit kind of like Philadelphia, where they win 5 and they lose 5, they win 5, they lose 5. But to answer your question, yeah, absolutely pick up Mike Smith. He's going to return value. Just don't expect him to be a workhorse-type goalie anymore.
Okay, this one's a little bit off the trails, but who is the most overrated player so far in fantasy this year? Like, is it Kaprizov? Because I saw that guy go in, like, top 10 in drafts. Like, it's just, he's a point-per-game player.
The thing with Kaprizov is the Wild in general are a little bit suspect offensively, right? Like, where it's not going to surprise us if they win games 2-1 consistently with their defense. But I think Kaprizov, I'd be willing to wait there. I guess if you're going to use that logic, you could say Panarin as well. Like, he just really isn't doing much, and the Rangers are kind of getting by without him playing well. So I would say Kaprizov, Panarin are good ones. But I think when you look at the position that's thin is defense. And considering Seth Jones was drafted on average around the top 50 overall, you've got nothing there from that player. And it's not his fault. You know, you can't single him out and say that it's his fault. It's entirely the situation. The Blackhawks are just a team that are trending down, down, down. And unfortunately, he signed a massive deal there. Not unfortunately for him, but, you know, for fantasy managers, that's not looking very good. So I think if you look at the defense position, you're looking at him. And then Cale Makar, maybe we can kind of tee up some guys I would trade for right now. But Cale Makar, I think, is playing a -7 right now, or either -7 or -8 or -9. And, like, the same thing, you know, people were drafting him top 30 overall. And, man, the Avs can't buy a good game right now. And Cale Makar has been struggling. So I think those are the guys that have kind of been underwhelming.
So are a lot of people looking to, and I know every league's different, but are a lot of people looking to then dish off guys like Cale Makar, Connor Hellebuck, because of their rough starts? And if so, who do you think are some of the players that, if they might be available for trade at a decent price in your league, you should be going after right now?
Yeah, so I would definitely play buy low on the Avs. Now, I know Rantanen had a little bit of trouble at practice today. I don't know if he's going to be banged up or not. Something to keep an eye on. So, you know, fluid situation there. But either way, I would buy low on Cale Makar. He's just a tremendous player. We know what he can do. He can be a 70-plus point guy in the league at that position, which is really, really solid. And then he's also playing with Bowen Byram right now for the Avs, who I would pick up if you're in a deeper league and he's available. Would not hesitate to stream him. So I would look at guys like, yeah, Makar. Another one I'm looking at, too, I want to play on this Crosby and Malkin returning situation. I think a lot of praise has to be given to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Love them or hate them, I mean, they keep defying the critics the last few seasons. So many injuries. They keep getting over the hump with them. They keep, you know, kind of patching things up. So I would look to go out and maybe get a Kasperi Kapanen if you can get a trade for him, or eligible on the waiver wire. Maybe a Chris Letang when he gets back, get in the lineup. I think that team is poised for success again, and you got to buy into these trends before it's too late.
Is there any trend right now to start picking up Toronto Maple Leafs, because there's no way they can be worse, or what? Like, and that's like, it's kind of tongue in cheek, but it's also like, hey, there's no way Marner's worse than he is right now. Like, is there any market for fantasy owners to be trading for him, or is the asking price still too high for what you're likely going to get?
No, I mean, listen, like, I've been a guy that has been targeting the Leafs in fantasy and betting and everything the last few years, right? Like, I've been very high on this team, and it's kind of burned me. And this season, I think you're just seeing things come to a head where, hey, if these top guys aren't firing on complete all cylinders, there's not a lot more going on here that meets the eye. And I think it's a tough spot, you know, to go too deep on the Maple Leafs. I mean, a few seasons ago, you could stack all these guys up and you'll win your fantasy championship. I just don't have that same team security. And when we talk about Pittsburgh, we talk about Washington, we can even throw Vegas in this conversation now with Pacioretty and Stone out. Like, those are teams that still withstand the test of time. Like, they are proven winners. They are proven to be consistent. I think, unfortunately, with Toronto now, this is really the most up and down we've seen this team. Yes, I know it's late October. It's not any further in the season. But this is exactly why they've been losing in the playoffs, right? Guys get cold, and they can't find that depth scoring, and it just starts to kind of unravel. So I like going out and acquiring a Mitch Marner now. He's going to pop up. He is a big-time player. But you have to wonder if this is the year where their ceiling is legitimately a little bit lower than a lot of people projected it to be.
Rob, I got one more for you, and that's in Montreal. Cole Caulfield, what do you do with him? Like, this is a guy who, before the season, everyone, okay, Calder for sure, he's probably going to score 30. I mean, Zegras tweeted out 40, which is funny, but, like, what do you do with this guy if he's around? Like, I mean, I've seen him be dropped in leagues because there's just nothing that guys are getting from him.
No, I'm all out on Montreal, and I'll kind of use the same rationale I just did with Toronto. Obviously, Toronto is leaps and bounds better than Montreal. But for Montreal, I think the ceiling, you just realize it's significantly lower than we all thought it was. And the good point to make about Caulfield, about Suzuki, about Jeff Petrie, but let's just focus in on Suzuki and Caulfield for a second here. Like, they were given the keys to McLaren, and they had to drive it around the racetrack, and they just can't do that, right? They're not old enough. They're not established enough to be the guys to do that. And I think that's the really hard part for Montreal, is after Philip Deneau leaves, like, yeah, Deneau's not going to, you know, blow you away in fantasy, but he's a really good two-way player. He can eat up 17 plus minutes a game. Now he's gone. You don't have anybody behind Suzuki now. No disrespect to Christian Dvorak, but you don't have anybody behind Suzuki now to make that happen. So now you have put all the pressure on Suzuki, who I dropped after the first game. I could see this one coming from a mile away, you know, to play with Cole Caulfield, who's a tremendous player. By the way, let's be honest here. These are high talent players, but in the wrong situation, you're not going to get much in fantasy. So my recommendation is to get all out on the Habs. And it's to the point where, yeah, Suzuki's going to have a couple multi-point games. Caulfield will have a couple multi-goal games. But you have to look at this lineup and say the ceiling is significantly lower than we thought it was going to be. And I think you're better off going to the waiver wire and playing hot hand streamers like Andrew Copp, Anthony Mantha, you know, guys like that, that you can really, really count on, you know, for a week or two, then drop them, get someone else. I'd rather do that than hang on to guys that just aren't going to return value over a full season.
Rob, I have taken your time for way more than 10 to 15 minutes. So thank you again, though. I appreciate you hopping on. I know everyone loves the fantasy hockey talk because they're way more into it and way better at it than I am. But thank you again. I hope all is well. And let's touch base in the new year.
All right. Best of luck in your fantasy season and talk soon.
Rob Reese right there from NHL.com joining me on World Hockey Report. It's a Thursday edition. It's October 28th. And everyone knows my favorite trip of the year. It's coming up in just over 2 months, maybe just under 2 months, honestly. It's the Spangler Cup. And all the people at the Sports Travel Tours, they want you to experience it as well. We've talked with so many alumni from the Spangler Cup. Everyone has the time of their lives there. Davos, Switzerland, it's beautiful. Check out all the available packages at sportstraveltours.com. And of course, if you're looking to get to fantasy sports, Daily Fantasy, DraftKings has you hooked up. Promo code THPN. Use it, use it, use it. DraftKings, the Hockey Podcast Network. That's where you can find all of our shows, too. If you missed any of the interviews, that's where you can find them, the Hockey Podcast Network. And if you're going to go back and find a clip of me saying the Oilers are going to beat the Flyers 9-1 last night, maybe drop it. Maybe drop it. Let's forget about that one, and we will move on. Already after the break, open line. We'll throw the phone number in the conversation there. And if you want to call in, we'll get your thoughts. We'll talk anything. But also, I got a little bit more Oilers talk I want to get to. I know you guys all love that. So we'll do it right here on World Hockey Report.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spangler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spangler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com. And sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
NFL fans hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, it's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Alrighty, it's World Hockey Report. Huge thanks to Rob Reese for hopping on, talking fantasy hockey. Hopefully you got the tips you need to make your team hum along. It's open line time, and it's World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. Numbers in the chat. If you want to get in touch, do it right now. We'll talk anything. You want to talk Chicago Blackhawks? You want to talk NHL? You want to talk Edmonton Oilers? Get in touch right now. Zach Whitecloud's got a new deal. It's 6 years, $2.75 million AAV. Also, this was a Sportsnet stat here, and we'll bring it up. Connor McDavid, Zach Hyman, first set of Oilers teammates to score 6 goals in the team's first 6 games of a season since Mark Messier and Glenn Anderson in 1978. Not a bad pairing to be with there. We already talked about it earlier. The Oilers, they lose 5-3. Again, you don't want to hit the panic button, but there was some conversation that came up about goaltending. I think Koskinen was fairly weak yesterday. I think you'd be hard to disagree with that. Did he make some good saves? Sure. Did he let in some goals that you can't have at the NHL level? Yeah. I think that's pretty obvious that it was going to happen. And Dave Pignota, he was on NHL Network talking with Jackie Redmond, and he was saying that, hey, Maybe they want to revisit some talks on Jonas Korpisalo. Maybe this guy's name is going to come back up because he's had a good start on a pretty bad season. Lucas Smells is coming on Twitch. Oh, hey, want to be famous. Yeah, okay, that's awesome. Hey, Dave Pignota, though, he did have this to say on Korpisalo, and we'll play it for you.
Well, this is another guy that's a UFA at the end of the season, and there's been a lot of talk in Columbus over the last few seasons to what they're going to do with their goaltending. Because they have Merzlikins, because Korpisalo is there as well, he stood on his head in the postseason. They really both have stood on their head in the last few seasons for this club. But as you mentioned, Merzlikins gets that extension. Korpisalo's got is in the final year of his deal, $2.8 million cap hit. If this team is in their rebuild process, like a lot of people suspect, he's going to be a guy that clubs are going to be looking at. Teams that are looking to bolster themselves between the pipes are going to be calling Columbus to see what it's going to take to get this guy. Now, his numbers, not the greatest to start in his first couple of games for Columbus so far, but a lot of teams know his potential. There have been clubs that have kicked around on him before, like Edmonton. So we could see teams that are looking to bolster that goaltending position. Maybe they make that call as we get closer to that deadline, maybe right after that Olympic break.
So will the Oilers be looking for a new goalie come the Olympic break? I think that still needs to be played out, because if you watch how he did play against Vegas and Arizona, you're definitely not disappointed. Picked up a couple of wins there. He played fine against Anaheim too. He came in relief. He was very fine for the Oilers. But you can't count on him to do that every night. For Mike Smith, I just saw Dave Tippett was talking about it, and he said that his timeline's still TBD. Not sure if he'll be available on Saturdays. He's progressing back from a lower body injury. And also, you heard Rob Reese break it on the show that TJ Oshie, he's considered week to week with a lower body injury. So a couple of big news notes there. If you are waiting on that, of course, open line, open right now, 1-825-439-9119. You can get those calls in if you do want to talk about anything that's been going on in the hockey world. Glenn, he wanted to know about Gary Bettman. And I've given my take on Bettman, on Don Fair, and it's still the drum of accountability. It's, are they more accountable than the players in the dressing room? In my opinion, yes, they are. I've never been in an NHL dressing room. I never played in the NHL. I don't know what it's like to be on a Stanley Cup contending team. I don't know what it's like to be on an NHL team, to be frank. But there's also a part of accountability responsibility too, is, you know, who's the one in charge for making sure this gets dealt with properly? Is it the players? Is it the players' job to be bugging Stan Bowman, to be bugging management, saying, hey, where are we at with this? Or does that mean that they're going to be the first ones traded out? It seems pretty obvious now. You look back at some of the stories that were written, some of the comments that were made, and Matt Nichol tweeted it out. He said, hey, you never know what anyone's going through with all these articles just absolutely ripping and ragging into Kyle Beach. You never know what people are going through. I think that's a true statement. That's as true as it gets. So were the Blackhawks trying to bury him because they knew what happened? And if that's the case, then yeah, get rid of them all. Get rid of Quenneville. Get rid of Cheveldayoff. Everyone who was involved, you got to get rid of them. It's not the players making the choices of who's up and who's down. So could Kane, Taves, Keith, those guys have spoken up if they knew about it? Yeah, they probably could have, but where does it go from there? I don't know if it was taken to police. I don't know who it was taken to. I don't know who it was dealt with. All we know is it was not done right. And that's the issue. Is there bigger issues? Is the homophobic slurs in practice in the dressing room around the media a bigger issue? Yeah, I mean, that's stuff that needs to be dealt with accordingly. And that just comes down to the whole hockey culture. Is, are we going to, say, hey, that's acceptable, that's fine by our watches as long as we're winning? Or is someone going to actually have a spine stand up and say, we need to be better? We need to be, you know, some change in the hockey world. That's what I want to see from people. That's what I want to see NHLers. You know, it's not enough just to say, hey, I'm sorry what happened to Kyle Beach. I'm sorry. I wish it never happened. He's incredibly strong for coming out. That's not enough. We need to do more. We need to do more to make sure it doesn't happen again. We need to do more to make sure that people who have, you know, been sexually assaulted before feel comfortable taking it to police, taking it to lawyers, knowing that they're not going to get shamed for it. They're not going to get made fun of. They're not just going to get tossed aside because an NHL, you know, they don't want to deal with it properly. Doesn't matter if it's Don Fair, Gary Bettman, whoever it is, if it doesn't get dealt with properly, these people aren't going to feel comfortable coming out and telling their story. You got to trust survivors. You got to trust victims here. We got to be better. That's as simple as I can put it from a Blackhawks perspective. Okay, let's go over some games tonight here before we wrap up. It's World Hockey Report. It's a Thursday edition. Next week, you're going to be back same time, same place. You guys know where to find it. But let's get to games tonight in the NHL. Calgary, they're in action. They're going to face off against Pittsburgh tonight. It's a 5 o'clock puck drop. Pittsburgh is the favorite. My bet of the night, though, I'm going to stay away from this game. I think the Flames are hot, and maybe as a dog on the money line, it's not the worst bet in the world. But where I see the real value tonight is Tampa Bay, and they are huge favorites. They're getting Arizona's backup or third tendy at home. They're minus 330 on the money line, but on the puck line, they're minus 120. You can't disagree that minus 120 for them to beat an Arizona team that sucks and that's playing their third goalie and they're on the road in Tampa. If they can't beat them by two, we got big issues in Tampa. I don't know. I think them minus 1.5 on the puck line, ride it hard. Ride it. Do it. And then also you got Carolina there at home against Boston. Boston's coming off a back-to-back. Carolina, as you heard Rob Reese say, Freddie Anderson's been the shocking story of the season. And for a guy like Freddie, if that means that the more he plays, the less likely an Antti Raanta is to get hurt, maybe they found the solution. Maybe they found that guy in Carolina that can really make a difference. Colorado, they are in St. Louis. St. Louis, home dogs here, plus 105. I don't mind the way St. Louis has been playing. They're undefeated, obviously. I haven't seen starting goalies for this game, but if they're going with Binnington, Colorado, you have to assume, is going with Kemper. But if they're not, ride the Blues here. Dogs at home? Okay. Vancouver, they're going to host Philly, so it's back-to-back for Philly. Not a tough travel day, but again, you're going from, you know, playing a good Oilers squad last night in a very high-paced game to going to Vancouver that plays at a different pace, a lot different skill set. I don't mind Vancouver at home, minus 135 on the money line. That's nothing to write home about, but also the Flyers are coming off a pretty good win over a pretty damn good team, so maybe roll with them on the money line. Just a little bit, half unit there. Anaheim, they are at home against Buffalo. You just can't even bet for Buffalo, right? Like, at this point, you're just like, Buffalo's such a joke. Somehow they're winning games. But, like, you know it's all going to come crashing down at one point. Seattle's at home against Minnesota. I don't need to talk about Kaprizov, do we, anymore? He's still a little overrated in my mind. Winnipeg, they're on the road in L.A. The Kings have only won one game this season. Not much to be positive there. A lot of injuries hopping around in LA and San Jose. They're at home against Montreal. Montreal hasn't won in San Jose since 1999. A couple of years ago that was. Shane Corson was on the team. I don't think Caulfield was born yet. Same with Romanov. So a couple of funny stats there. Let's get and check if there's any more NHL news here for our friends at Quack Stats on the hotline. NHL's memo to teams, I'm not going to read it, but it has been released, and it's basically fostering a safe and inclusive NHL culture. This one's coming from Gary Bettman, and I don't know, signed off by Bill Daly or CC'd Bill Daly, Don Fair. You can't. They have to be better. And frankly, Gary Bettman has made shambles of this one. Come on. You can't wait 2 days to go talk to Joel Quenneville. He shouldn't be on the, you know, they'll suspend guys while they're waiting for a suspension for high sticks. They won't let them play. You know, a charge. They're going to say that a punch to the face is worth suspending, but being named in a civil lawsuit, a sexual assault lawsuit, isn't worth suspending a coach for who was directly named in it? Bergevin wasn't named in it. Quenneville was named in it. Cheveldayoff was named in it. And the NHL won't step in. That's where Gary Bettman has failed the NHL, and that's why he needs to go. I think it's simple as that, Glenn. Gary Bettman, he's got to go. I think the Wurtzes have to sell the Blackhawks. I think you need to turn a new page, and it is completely burning it down. Is it harsh? Yeah, it's harsh. But I don't know. If I'm wrong, let me know. Join the conversation. Follow me on Twitter anytime at Janner31 underscore. Connect with me there anytime. World Hockey RPT. Hey, you know, we've been on a few podcasts lately too. If you do want us to hop on a podcast, don't hesitate. Shoot us a DM. We're always down to connect. We're always down to collaborate and help out other hockey shows. For myself, Cody Jans and Jeff Beck back at the 12 Ounce Sports Studios. Eric Krause, our social media manager, and Bryce Bunce, our lead producer of the show. Until next week, back here Tuesday, same time, same place, everyone. Be kind, be better.